Small Talk, educating, promoting, exploring, giving you a better understanding of the lives of people with dwarfism, exploring the highs, the lows, the trials and tribulations, and let's not forget the never-ending achievements. So over the next 30 minutes, we invite you to see the world through our eyes. You're on 3CR 855 on your AM dial. Welcome to Small Talk, airing from 6 to 6:30 p.m. on the first Wednesday of each month.
Nothing brings me down. Welcome, everybody, to this month's edition of Small Talk here on 8:55 a.m. Tonight, we are very privileged as a team to be part of the International Day of People with a Disability broadcast. I'm in the studio at the moment with Lisa and Mary. How are you guys going?
Hey, pretty good.
Very yep. good. So, yes, today's seen a lot of activities happen over the state and across the country, things such as the nationwide Lights Up for People with a Disability, which has seen iconic buildings throughout the country light up with orange and blue as part of the day. So if you're down around Federation Square, go out and check that out. And as I said, 3CR has been running a day-long broadcast as part of the day, which started this morning with Earth Matters and the Big Bold Breakfast with our friends at The Boldness, and it's wrapping up here with us tonight. So we wanted to go straight into a discussion that we've had off air many, many times. It's probably something that we haven't really discussed on air yet, but it is an issue within the short statured community, and it's something that we thought was very appropriate to talk about today. So Lisa, would you like to kick off the conversation around dwarfism and disability?
Dwarfism and disability. The big question is dwarfism a disability? We've often had that discussion and talk, and I don't know if we really come to a conclusion on it, really, do we?
No, I don't think there is a definite conclusion, and I think that's the same with very many issues that we bring up on the show. We're not really uniformed in that way, but...
But that's what I like about our group. We're just so diverse.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for me it all comes down to the individual with short stature, the individual with any difference or disability. If you identify, then that's fine. If you don't, then I don't think anybody can take that away from you either.
That's right. Well, me personally, I identify as a person with disability, and I find it really hard to define what I mean about that, because I'm quite able-bodied. As you know, Sam, I'm a runner. Yes. And enjoy running, and my longest distance is 17 kilometres. And I actually do that on my own two feet.
Yeah.
And things like that. And yet I identify as a person with a disability. And I think it's because I'm involved in a lot of groups with people with disabilities, and in there I find such a sense of community and camaraderie and understanding of difference.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good point. I think I've been lucky enough to have similar experience being around people with different disabilities and disability groups, and I think throughout my life I've kind of come in and out of identifying with a disability and not identifying. I think during my early life I didn't identify as having a disability, but as I've grown older I've had different things come along with surgeries and spending prolonged times in wheelchairs and things like that, and also just within myself, I guess, redefining what disability meant.
Yeah.
I think when I was very young, the society's view on disability was very negative, and I think that's something that's changed a little bit. I'm not sure if you feel similar, Meredith.
Excuse us whilst we share microphones here. We've got a full studio audience, full studio panel in here today. Everyone's extremely keen to get on the microphone and share their point of view with regarding this topic of, is dwarfism a disability or is it not? I was just going to agree with you, Sam. It's similar to, I guess, the poor connotation, the poor history of the word disability, as is with dwarfism. You know, often on Small Talk we're talking about the word dwarf and the association with mythical and, you know, fairy tales and creatures and beasts and freaks and so forth. And it's got this this poor history. And I think that's why a lot of people living with conditions of dwarfism do shy away from the word dwarf and have a problem with, I guess, recognising that they are a dwarf and they do have dwarfism. And I think that could also be a, you know, an association with disability as well. I think the word disability is so broad now and it's come so far. And you know, there's so much ability within disability these days. It's completely changed and it's taken on a whole new meaning, I think.
Mm. Well, I know that having spent a lot of time with my friends with disabilities and being involved in groups and whatever, I really have noticed a real sense of pride and ownership of that word and what that encompasses. And for me, it's brought a lot of peace for me because, you know, I don't know what's around the corner tomorrow. I could go and have some surgery and and not be able to run 20K, whatever. But
you're
think
not looking at anyone in particular there, are you, Lisa?
No, love. But I don't know. I think since really identifying with the word disability and embracing it, I've found a lot more peace within myself because disability can also be invisible, like mental health, you know, having a mental health issue. That is classed as a disability.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so.
Absolutely. And I think also, and I'm not sure whether you would agree, I, as a child, could not stand any reference to the word dwarf, whether it be dwarf, dwarfism, didn't matter. I could not, when I was a child, I could not stand that word. And I think as I grew older and I became more accepting of myself and who I am and my abilities, I, you know, I will, you know, proudly say, yes, I have dwarfism. I don't like to label myself as a dwarf because my name is Meredith and that's who I am, but I have a condition of dwarfism and I'm so much more comfortable saying that than what I, you know, than what I ever was, especially throughout my teenage years, I guess, when difference is the last thing you want to have to, you know, to all your peers.
Mm. Yeah, I was pretty much the same too, and it really wasn't until I identified with people with dwarfism and that I became okay with that. You know, it was like, yeah, I could identify with them and they could identify with me and I became comfortable with the word. Yes, I'm Lisa. I don't like being called dwarf. I have dwarfism. Although I really did appreciate it one day when I was walking in the street and a little four-year-old ran past me and went, oh, Gimli! Who was a dwarf from Lord of the Rings. Oh. And I go, yes! Yes, I kind of found that quite powerful. So, yeah, I find power in the word.
Sure, I can imagine that's a little bit similar to maybe your son being called, Peter Dinklage. Who's Peter Dinklage's character on Game of Thrones?
Oh, Tyrion. Yes.
He would hold that, his head up, I'm sure, with I'm a lot sure. of pride in that. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Even if I was called Tyrion, I'd go, yeah, I own that.
So we've got Jono and Alyssa in the studio. We had a whole lot of traffic along Punt Road coming in tonight, so we've all actually literally rushed into the studio about 2 minutes before we went on air, and then Jono and Alyssa have just come in. Now, Jono, do you want to add anything to this chat about disability and what your views are on it?
Yeah, I guess growing up I never sort of considered myself. I consider myself different, but I guess this will probably sound weird, but I remember the only sort of time that I really sort of noticed was when I actually looked in the mirror. It wasn't there, and then I was sort of like, oh, okay.
At a certain age, or?
Yeah, it was, around 8 to 10, maybe.
That you noticed you had a difference, that you noticed,
because generally now I wouldn't really notice it, whereas then when I looked in the mirror that I was like, oh, okay, I'm actually different, I'm actually shorter, and that, which I know may sound silly, but yeah. I don't do it now, but
I guess in a way we wear it now. Like, it's us, you know. I guess you wear it, so you don't see it. You just it's you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you sit good in your own skin, and you wear it, and you're proud of it, kind of thing. Mm. Well, I am these days.
No, for sure, definitely. Yeah.
And how do you feel like about the word disability, personally? Do you want to share that?
I wouldn't say I'm disabled. I'd say I'm different.
Yep.
But I wouldn't really say I'm disabled.
Yeah, and I think that is quite common amongst short stature community.
Yeah.
They, you know, do like to reference themselves as having a difference.
I suppose it all really depends on how you define the word disability, doesn't it?
That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, because, and like I said before, I don't know how I define the word disability, but I identify that I have a disability. What that means, I'm yet to define.
And I think, yeah, the general definition of that is changing throughout the whole of society. And I think days such as today and things like 3CR doing a day-long broadcast, that's only going to help everybody living with a difference, with a disability, however you want to define it. That's going to change the whole landscape over time, I believe.
Yeah, and look, it can be a forever long conversation, I think, and everyone has a right to have an opinion, and that's the beauty of freedom of speech and the beauty of having radio for us to air that. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with some further and exciting discussion around a 60 Minutes story which was recently put to air.
Able-bodied Australia does not realise that people with disabilities across the board are being discriminated against. Then the government to demand that we go out and get a job without removing the disincentives like the lack of access to transport and community infrastructure, without providing accessible buildings that can provide barrier-free employment. I'm not getting a fair go and I don't like it and I'm saying so.
You're listening to 3CR, 855 on the AM dial.
I really don't like this concept of teaching people to see the person and not the disability. Then why can't people see a person with a disability and not freak out or not feel uncomfortable? You know, it's like that weird backhanded compliment that we get when people say, you know, oh, I don't think of you as disabled because you're my friend or you're really cool or because you're just like me. And can we not be all of those things? Can we not be cool and likeable and people's friends, but not also be proud of our disabilities? I kind of hope that we can.
Welcome back to Small Talk on the International Day of People with a Disability. We're back in the studio now wanting to discuss, as Mary mentioned before the break, a very exciting media story that happened over the weekend on 60 Minutes. Quite often we'll come in here every now and then and we'll have to discuss a negative story that airs. So it's great to see that it's something that is a positive and something that's not about entertainment or not about somebody being injured by somebody doing something they shouldn't or whatever it might be. So I think that's really good. Lisa, I know that you've seen the story as well. Did you have any initial thoughts on the story itself?
I was really quite pleased with how it was. I was actually pleased to see that they spoke about their raw emotions, you know, rather than it being this lovely, sweet, oh, isn't this wonderful, aren't we blessed, that they felt okay about sharing, we were shocked and this is how we reacted. Mm-hmm. And I found some of that very difficult to hear. But at the same time, I really appreciated their honesty because I think, you know, just say, for example, there's some other newborn babies with achondroplasia or dwarfism out there that have only just been born and the parents are struggling. Maybe they have seen that particular program and are able to openly share how they're struggling at the moment and feel that it's okay to talk about it. And we will move on. So I'd be interested to really see an update on that story, because I know it was filmed several months ago and it's only just been aired. So I know Floyd's walking around now and you know, he's not this tiny little baby anymore. But, yeah, I was really interested.
Yeah, I think you're right. The raw emotion was the big thing for me that came across. And as you said, it's as a person living with a condition of dwarfism, it is a bit confronting to hear that. But it's also something that I spoke to my mum about the next day, just what her thoughts were. And she was saying that she had similar thoughts when they were talking about, I can't remember what exactly they said, but will he get married, will he find a job, all those things. She really identified with that, and I think new parents would as well. So I think overall it's a huge, huge positive.
Yeah, and my mum, we've got to stop doing that. My mum was the exact same, Sam. It was one of the reasons why she joined the then what was called the Little People's Association of Australia, which is now the Short Stature People of Australia. She wanted all those questions answered, and she got that when she walked into a room and here were, you know, all different short stature people of a range of ages with a range of occupations. Some of them were at university, some of them were in primary school, high school, and then some of them were in very successful careers. And so all of her answers to her questions and all that unknown was, it came at once, and it was so comforting. I know she's spoken to me openly throughout, you know, my life about, yes, they were shocked. I was the third born child and the only one born to two parents of average stature with dwarfism, because it is a mutation of a gene, and it can happen to anybody. We born with the condition do carry the gene once we are born with dwarfism, but it can actually occur in any pregnancy. And and Mum has told me often, you know, yes, that she was shocked and so forth. So I wasn't surprised to hear of the, you know, how shocked the parents were. But I was very impressed, as Lisa said, to see how raw their emotion was and to see that they would open that up to a community. And I hope that brings other parents forward to them, to us, to whomever, and, you know, gives them an avenue of communication and encourages them to, you know, they're allowed to be angry, they're allowed to be shocked, but then, you know, they, you know, also can move on and enjoy their child.
Yeah, I'd be really interested to follow them. I have this, I think the family are trying to educate as many people as possible, so it's going to be interesting seeing, I think, with Floydie being, can I say poster child at the moment? You know, how that's going to go for them and going through this so publicly. And I kind of admire them that they are willing to put themselves in that position where they're kind of leading the way and trying to get out there and do something proactive and positive about dwarfism awareness and getting the word out there. And you know, they're on a journey, and the whole of Australia, I suppose, is on that journey with them.
And it's a risk, I know, and I know you know, Lisa. All of us in this room, though, we've all been part of media, and we've been portrayed by media in a view that they want to portray us in. So it's a huge risk when you take on a big public story with media. So I think, you know, it takes a lot of courage and guts to take on such a role, and you know, good on them for taking it on, and good on 60 Minutes for, you know, portraying it in a positive way and not over sensationalizing it. I think sometimes a lot of the media around us living with conditions of dwarfism is over sensationalized. So it's trying to find that balance of, you know, truth and heartfelt stuff and you know, selling a story and all of that, but you know, making sure that it stays real.
Well, to use a term that Stella Young would use, inspiration porn. And it wasn't like that. It was real and raw. I've got the whole studio laughing just by saying that. I didn't say it. She said it. I'm just quoting.
She stole one of your lines, Stella.
Yeah. Sorry, Stella. No, I'm quoting you. You're a legend. But yeah, I don't think 60 Minutes did that made it overly inspirational. They took a risk and made it raw and yeah, interesting.
Yeah, and I think the other big thing that came out of it was the power of social media. It's something that we've spoken about on the show before in terms of dwarfism awareness. I mean, their whole story came about from a video that they posted to their family and friends introducing their baby that had achondroplasia. And I think if you haven't seen the video, do yourself a favour on YouTube, the Morley family, and check it out, because yeah, it was just obvious to me that that's where we need to go when we're promoting difference, when we're promoting disability, when we're promoting anything social media. It has huge power to do a lot of good. We're just going to go to a quick song and then we will be right back.
I never thought in a million years that this could happen to me.
Welcome back to 3CR, 855 on your AM dial. That was Red Brick Road by Hardy Everett. And yeah, tonight there's the other film festival going on, which apparently is going to start pretty shortly. And Lisa, you're off to it apparently?
It's going to start in 5 minutes. How am I going to get to the Brain Centre in 5 minutes?
Bit of run. American marathon running for you.
Yeah, well, there you go.
In quick time.
Yeah, the other film festival is on tonight. Opening night is tonight. And it runs until the 7th of December. It's at the Melbourne Brain Centre, which is the Kenneth Meyer Building on Royal Parade in Parkville. And the other film festival is an initiative of Arts Access Victoria. And it's a festival of films by, for, and about people with disabilities. And we've got a whole program of really fantastic films. And on Saturday, we're going to be showing a film called On the Road with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It was filmed back in the 90s. And this year is actually its 21st anniversary, so we're having the 21st anniversary screening at the Other Film Festival. And it's a documentary following the cast of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which has been very, very popular pantomime since Noah was a boy, I suppose. And and afterwards we're going to have a forum and a bit of a discussion with filmmakers and a couple of the cast members, BJ and Scott. They're the original cast members, and we're going to be having a chat with them about the experience of making the documentary and what it was like actually being on the road with the show, and how society's attitudes have changed since then, because, you know, that was filmed 21 years ago. And Sam, you've had a look at the film.
And I have, yeah.
Yeah, so there were some interesting things said.
Yeah, no, it's definitely clear that times have changed. Mm. But I think the discussion will be fantastic, not wanting to say too much about the film, because I think we want everyone to come on Saturday.
Yeah, please do. It'll be great.
But yeah, it's gonna be a fantastic discussion. Even in terms of just their personal views, have they changed in terms of what entertainment is, and how they feel about that now,
and how we can actually move forward. And we have so many talented short statured actors and performers with such talent, and how to really break into the film industry, and you know how to create some really fantastic work. But yeah, get yourself along to the Other Film Festival. This is the third festival that I've actually attended, and it really is a great weekend of lots of different amazing films.
It sure is. And that's kind of bringing us towards the end of our show again. And we've flown by as per usual. But thank you all for joining the discussion today, and thank you all for listening. This brings an end to 3CR's 2014 broadcast celebrating the International Day of People with a Disability. So we'd like to thank all the guests, 3CR programmers, staff and volunteers who took part. And also, just to let everybody know, if you did miss anything throughout the day, there will be podcasts available on 3cr.org.au.
And a big thank you to 3CR for allowing Small Talk to close today. We feel very honoured, don't we?
We certainly do. And that's the final show for the year for us. So we're all going on a holiday. But we will see.
Where are we going?
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm going on my own holiday. But we will see you all back here in February. And make sure you stay tuned for Tamil Voice.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.